And so I want to talk about hell, because there's a lot of people that, and I'm gonna show you something, but there's a lot of people that claim they've been there, and I used to watch it. They died and they came back from hell. And now that I started reading the Bible, I look and I examine, I remember what they were saying. I said, that's not right. Because they say they went to hell, and it was about, they talk about the place. And you know what I thought? You know what? They've made merchandise. They make money off religion. And anybody can go and claim, people know it has fire and they'll add to it. And you know what really got me is, you know, they say, everyone I've heard, they talk about how the demons torment you. Well, the book of Revelations, it says that the demons will be tormented, and Satan the beast. It was made for them, for their torturing, not for them to have a place to torture human beings. And you know, I would listen and they would say, you know, they would talk about being saved, but then they bypass completely the blood of Jesus Christ, Him dying on the cross, and they would go straight to God. Just ask God. I ask God to save me. I ask God to come into my heart. What did they do? They completely bypass Christ, and they make money. They get on YouTube and make all these videos, and they start doing it where they go around evangelizing, talking to people. And so many people were deceived because they never hear the gospel. You can't go into heaven without going through Jesus Christ. And you know what? I said, you know what? Wow. So this right here is, I wanted to do something over hell, and we'll look at it, examine it, go through it, and see what the Bible says about hell. And so I got some verses. We'll start out in Psalms. Psalms 9, verse 7. Psalms 9:7. It says, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared His throne for judgment, and He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprighteousness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. I think in the book of Mark, it says that when you trust in Him, He has you in your hand. And He says, no man can pluck you out. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you when you trust Him. He'll never deny you. Look what it says in 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forgot God. Why did they forget God? Well, they went to other gods. They looked to their own righteousness. They went after strange gods. Okay. So I put, the Lord is preparing for judgment, and He will judge the world, but will have mercy to them that trust Him. Okay. And then in 17, who goes to hell? He says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Okay. Now we'll go to Luke 16. I want to read this story. And we'll revolve around this story here, because I believe the story in Luke 16, which is the rich man and Lazarus, I believe this is not a parable, because a parable, when He spoke parables, He would say things like a sower went out to sow, or the man worked in the field, or He would say the kingdom of heaven is likened to this, and With this story, it's personal. He names names, he names events, times, and places. So this is, to me, it's not a parable. I believe it's an event that happened. He's foretelling what's going to happen in life after death. So it starts out, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. Purple always represented what? Royalty, right? And fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate, full of sores. So this beggar was laying at his gate, and it says that, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. See, right here, it separates the fact that a man, he died and they buried him. But he's still around in the next verse. Look what it says. It says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. See, he died. They buried the body, but he's still around. Can you imagine? When he opens his eyes, he looks around and he takes in where he's at. I don't know if the rich man was a religious man. They don't say if he was a self-righteous man or he was an evil man or he was a problem man. They don't say none of that. But it says that the rich man died and he was buried. And it says he opened his eyes in hell. And being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, that and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his fingers in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things. So right there, that right there says that he was maybe a greedy man. I don't know, because Lazarus was there and he would just be begging for the crumbs. And Abraham said, well, you received good things. We could maybe say that he was a greedy man. I don't know. And then it says, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us. For what come, that would come from hence? Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they that have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if thou hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Right there, that's why I say, you know what, anybody that claims that they died and they made a little documentary or how they went to hell, right there he asked, he made a request, how about if you send Lazarus to go warn my five brethren? And he says, no, they have Abraham and Moses and the prophets. See, right there he says, no, they won't hear. Right now we have the canon of scriptures fulfilled. So when I thought about that, I said, if he wouldn't have sent them in those days, why would he allow people to die and experience hell and come back? Well, you know what? They make movies. There's a lot of movies of people. They've even made Christian movies. God's Not Dead or this other one where they died and came back. You know, I wonder, is that true? And so that's what I was thinking about right there. See, he's denying the fact of someone that has died to go back and warn them. So right there, we can maybe say, you know what, okay. And then you hear the other things, but let's move on. I want to give you a couple verses that describes hell. So go to Jude 1:22. It's right before Revelations. Jude chapter 1 verse 22. 1:22. And some, having compassion, make a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. See right there, he's saying that on some people, you got to have compassion and save them with love. And you know, I examine that, and you know, you go to some churches and that's all they talk about is love, 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 love. And God is going to help you through this, and God is going to help you through that. And I look and I say, you know what? A lot of people just preach about love, no understanding of what you're saved from. But some people you do save with love. But the Bible says right here, and others you save them with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by their flesh. You have to save them with fear. Hey, you're going to go to hell. The Bible says that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you got to, because a lot of people, they think they know what they're saved, but they don't know what they're saved from. They never heard it. All they heard is love, 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 love. And they go through their life just knowing that Jesus loved. I ran into someone, I don't know if I've told anybody, I was on a pipeline. I was working in Cotulla. And this guy was a helper, and I was talking with him, and I said, if you died, would you go to heaven? Oh, yeah. He was so sure. And I said, why? Well, look at the way you cussing. You cuss every sentence, F word. And look at the way you walking around and doing this. I said, you go to church? No. So you're going to go to heaven? Oh, yeah. God will not send me to hell. God's love. God will send nobody to hell. And I started telling him about the gospel. How is he saved? He said, well, because I believe in God. I said, what about Jesus? Oh, yeah, him too. But God is love. God won't send nobody to hell. See, he cannot be saved with compassion. He needs to be saved with fear. He needs to know what the wages of sin are, and he needs to know how he can be justified. So right there, it's the separating. The Lord shows right there that some have to be saved with fear, and having compassion, you make a difference. Others, you save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. That means the sin that they're in. Okay? So let's go to Luke. Oh, let me see. Go to Mark. Mark 9:43. And this is Jesus Christ. He's talking and he's warning them about hell. And right now he's going to describe hell. It says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell and into the fire that shall be never quenched. If you want to write on your Bible, you can circle the word hell and fire never quenched. Then he says in 44, where the worm dieth not. Circle the word. Oh, look what it says. It says their worms. It's like almost if they have a worm assigned to them. It's not the worms, it's their worms. Right? So circle the word their worm dieth not. Well, when I don't, from what I see is actual worms that are eating your body, a form of torment. When we die and we're buried, what comes and eats us? Eats the body. Worms, right? What's that? Maggots, worms. And see, that's, what we're going to do is I'm going to go through some verses. I'm going to describe hell. So right now, we're, you can circle hell, fire that's never quenched, their worms. It says that their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You can underline it. The fire is not quenched. And then he keeps going on and on. Watch this. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better to enter into life, for it is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Again, he says, fire never quenched. For their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Again. And then in 47, he says, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is never quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. See? So in Luke, he's describing fire that's never quenched, and their worms that die not. Okay? But go to Revelations. Revelations 14. So it's a serious, he's telling them, offend means to fall away. It means if you were to also cause somebody to fall away, this is how serious it is. He's saying, it's better if your hand causes you to fall away, cut it off. Of what you're seeing or what you're not seeing, pluck it out. Your feet, wherever they're taking you, If you know, this is how serious it is. So in Revelation 14, verse 10, I believe, 10, it's going to describe. Okay, it's the same shall drink of wine. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without a mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. You can circle that. Tormented with fire and brimstone. In the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. See, many people say, when you go to hell, you just, what do they call it? Where you're separated from God. Well, right here, the scripture says that Jesus Christ is, he's the one that's running hell, and he's going to be in the, you're going to be in the presence of the angels and of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. Okay? And they have no rest. See, right there, rest. Having no rest, that's a form of torment in its own. Many women here have had babies. And what happens when they're young? You get no rest. Night after night, and you're sleepy, and you're tired, and you get agitated, and it's a form of punishment. I know back then when they would capture soldiers and they were tormenting them, they wouldn't let them rest. You'd start resting, and what they do is wear your body down so you can talk. Well, having no rest, that's a form of punishment. I know when I will work long hours, and when I come home, I mean, I'm just, if you were just to take somebody and keep them awake for at least 3-4 days, oh man, they fall apart. So the Bible says it says it's going to be fire, never quenched. There's worms, and you have no rest. It says, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name. So right here it says that you're going to be tormented in the presence of the angels and of the Lamb of God. And that there's going to be no rest. That's another form of punishment in hell. Okay, so let's go to, just turn the page, Revelations 20. 2010. Let's see where I'm at. Okay. 20 verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. See, this is, toward the end, I'm going to show you. This is the devil, the devil is deceiving many, was cast into the lake of fire. This is the first time anyone's went into the lake of fire because it was always hell. But it says, he was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay? So there's no rest. Fire and brimstone, Satan is cast into hell, and he will be tormented there. So anybody that says that they went to hell and they came back and they said that there was demons stabbing you and torturing you and Satan was running hell, right there it shows that Jesus Christ is the one that's going to be in charge of hell, and his angels too. They're going to be watching over it. And Satan and his demons are going to be, well, it says angels, they're going to be in there, and they will have no rest either. And they're going to be with fire and brimstone day and night. Okay. No rest. Okay, go to Jude again. Jude 1. Just turn to the left. Jude 1, 6 and 7. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, which was heaven, they fled. And he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. You can circle everlasting chains under darkness. So you're chained up too. The angels are being chained up into darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Then it says, even Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities abound them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. It's talking about the angels, why they're in there. And set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Right there again. Everlasting and eternal, same thing. And never ending. So far we have fire that's never quenched. You're being tormented with worms. You're being tormented in the presence of the Lamb and the angels. You have no rest. Fire and brimstone. Everlasting chains. Darkness. Okay, so 2 Peter 2:4. Turn to the left. Second Peter 2:4 says, for if God spare not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, there it is again, to be reserved until judgment. So they're in chains and darkness again, it says. Okay. Mark 9:44. So a lot of people, I think about it, and you know, all these people, they, you can go to YouTube and just Google people that went to hell, and you'll hear all kinds of things. And they'll give you a different description of what the Bible's giving you. Second Peter, what did I say? Mark 9:44. So they said they went to hell and they came back and they're giving this testimony of hell. But in the story of Lazarus and the rich man, Abraham says, no. If I send somebody, if somebody goes, they won't hear him. They got Moses and the prophets. So if there was a denial then, what would make today difference? Now we got the Bible complete. So, and what did he say? He said, if I won't tell nobody day or hour, there was a parable about it where he says that if I told you that you'd protect your house, right, and the thief wouldn't come in or something like that. People would deceive, people will show you a different way. That's why it's always good that we need to go to the Bible. Okay, Mark 9:44 says, and it's talking about your hand and cut it off. I think I read that. Oh, it was in Matthew. Hell, fire, it'll never be quenched. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. And your foot, you know, it says you never will be quenched. Okay, so Isaiah 14. It's right after Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah 14. Yes, Isaiah 14, verse 9 and 11. It's talking about Lucifer. 14:9 and 11. Right. Chapter 14:9. It says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It is stirred up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. What's the chief ones of the earth? Would that be like the kings and queens and presidents, vice presidents? He's saying everybody. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Go to 11. Thy prompt is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Right there, it shows again that there's nobody is, what's the word I'm looking for? Nobody is what? Nobody, everyone is going to go into hell. Nobody is special, that nobody won't have judgment. Everybody, and that's if we read earlier, it's talking about Lucifer and Satan. So go to Revelations chapter 9. Chapter 9:1-3. Chapter 1-3, it says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And angels come down, and he's opening the pits of hell. As the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened, because it's like of a furnace, by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts. These are creatures that are in hell. So the Bible shows that there's creatures also in hell. It says, smoke, out of the smoke, locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. So right there, there's going to be, there's creatures in hell, it talks about, that they're going to come out and they're going to torment the earth. And this time is literally God's pouring out his wrath. He's literally bringing hell to the earth. Go to verse 7. Or wait, let me see. Yeah, 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were a crown like gold. And their faces were as faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they that had tails like unto scorpions, and they were sitting in their, and they were, and they were stings in their tail, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. So the Bible is showing that there's also creatures that are in hell. I don't know, the Bible don't say that they're in hell tormenting, but it says they come out of the pits of hell. So what do we have? We have that hell is described as fire, never quenched, with worms. You're in the presence of Jesus Christ and the angels. There's no rest day or night. You're in everlasting chains and darkness, eternal fire, worms that are, they're there, they're covering you. And so hell don't sound like a fun place. There's a lot of people, you'll talk to them, oh, I'll just go to hell and I'll run away, or I'll beat the devil up, or I'll do this. I've heard all kinds. I'm going to be partying hell with my friends. Hell is not a fun place. Right here it shows there's torment. You have no rest. There's fire. There's worms. You're in everlasting chains and darkness. Okay? Matthew 25. Matthew 25, we'll start in 41. There's a parable here, and I was wondering if I should go through it or not. Because these are, well, we'll read it real quick. See, a parable is, when he describes a parable, it's an earthly job with a spiritual application in it. And a parable is, It's a job that someone has on earth, but with a spiritual application. So you have to kind of see it through a spiritual aspect. So it talks about, we'll read 25. I'll read this one real quick. Verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. There's 2 sets of them. And they that were foolish took their lamps with no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. So I was looking at this, and this one reminded me of Matthew 7:21 and Luke 13. Because if you look at it as spiritual, it says they took their lamps. Okay. When the Bible talks about lamps, what does it say? Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. So I believe that these one, they took their religion or their beliefs. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. Both of them were, they believed and they trusted, or they might not have. It says, and 5 of them were foolish because they took no oil with them. If you read about oil in the Bible, sometimes it represents the Holy Spirit. So they didn't have the faith in them. That's what I was looking, but it says right here, but the wise took oil in their vessels. The Bible describes us as a vessel that the Holy Spirit can come into, right? So it says in 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So I look at it and say, well, okay, they were wise. They had the faith in themselves with the word of God. See, that's how I was looking at it. And it says, while the bridegroom tarried, that means he didn't come right away. They all slumbered and slept like today, nowadays. At midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. See, to me that represents when the Lord comes, like he says in Matthew 7:21. He says, there'll be many that will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. He says, we did this in your name, we preach in your name, we cast out devils in your name, and he denies them. Why? Because they gave him works. I did this, I did that. And he says, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So to me, he's looking at him, he says, I never knew you, and you never knew me. Because if you knew me, you would have trusted in me to be your Savior. But you trusted in yourself. It was Jesus plus me. And he says, you workers of iniquity, depart from me. I never knew you. Because they believed in themselves. That's why he's casting them out. They loved him. They were very religious. And they put their faith in him, but they put it in themselves. And they gave him works. I did this, I did that. And you know what? These virgins right here are saying the same thing, because they're saying, give us your oil. And look what he tells them. But the wise answer saying, no, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready. And they that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. They're knocking again. Same thing. And he says, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man shall come. See, it gives three other stories in there. And look what it says in verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand. He's talking about separating the sheep from the goats. So he says, when he's talking about they fed him and they the stranger. And he says, then he said unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He's describing hell again. There it is. He says, you're cursed into everlasting fire. Now it's everlasting fire. It was eternal fire in Jude 1, 6, and 7. Now he says everlasting. It's the same thing. And then he says, for the devil and his angels. Look at 46. He says it again. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. You're going to be punished. It's not a place where you just go and you're separated from God. You're not going to purgatory. You're going to hell. You're going to be punished. But the righteous into life eternal. So the key to getting into heaven is being righteous. Okay? Let's see. Let's go to Revelations. Revelations 20. Revelations 20, verse 10. 2010. I don't know if I read that one yet. Okay. Yeah, I think I read that one. Well, let's look at it. 20 verse 10. Yeah, I read that one. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw the great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth. Well, let's go to go back to Luke. I want to show you something in that story. Luke 16. So what we did is we went through and we described hell. It's not a fun place. It's not a place that you're just going to be separated from God. You're not going to be in limbo walking around. It's a place of torment with no rest. And then if you go to 24, Luke 16, 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he that is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed between us, and they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither would pass from hence. There can pass to us that would come from hence. Look what he says right here. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. And for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they shall come into this place of torment. There's a request in hell. He's saying, I got five brothers. Send somebody to go and warn them. Send somebody, because I don't want them to come to this place. And Jesus Christ is, he's saying that too. Go to Matthew 9. Let me show you what he's saying in Matthew 9. Matthew 9. 9:36. Jesus Christ says, he says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. He's saying, send people, because I don't want nobody to go to hell. Lazarus, the rich man is begging, I have five brethren. Send them, please, warn them. See, so many people are proud and they won't acknowledge when they die without Christ, without Jesus Christ, that there's nothing. But there's many that are in hell right now, and they're begging and pleading for somebody to go to their family members and pray. And that's why it's soul winning and going door knocking and telling other people is very important. I look at Alan and I see he has things all over his car, and he knows what hell's about. It's When you read the Bible, you know what's coming for those people. I remember when I was in the mall one time with Amanda, and we're walking, and I said, look at this. She says, what? I said, look at all these people. Look like an ocean of just people walking. And I said, man, one day, it's going to look like it's full of people just begging and pleading, and man, I just like you when you know it saddens you, because there's a lot of people that don't want to take time to listen and they don't want to hear it. And there's people in hell that are begging people like us to go and witness to them. And even Jesus Christ says, I pray for the harvest that there would be laborers, but there's few, he says. Well, and look, go to Acts. Acts 8. We know what this story is. This is a story. Acts 8:35. This is the Ethiopian eunuch. The Holy Spirit, an angel came down and he told Philip to go meet this man. And he goes and he meets this Ethiopian eunuch. And he's, if there was somebody that wanted to be saved, it was him. He's reading in the book of Isaiah. And he says, then Philip opened his mouth. Let's see, where am I at? Oh, he says, Philip ran hither to him and heard him. The Holy Spirit is leading him and guiding him because he's lost. He's not saved. And Philip ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandeth what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? Even right there, some people need Christians like us to guide them. Anybody can get in the Bible and read it. I used to read it. I couldn't make heads or tails of it. Because we didn't have an understanding of how we're saved. We were misled. All through the books of Matthew to the book of Revelation warnings, don't be deceived, don't be deceived. There's many that are going to come and deceive you. Paul was crying. He said, when I leave, they're going to come like wolves. He didn't want to leave because he knew they would come and they would lead him another way. And he says, I need somebody to guide me through these scriptures so I can know. Okay? We're in Acts 8:35, but we're going now to... See, people in Acts, in Luke, the rich man, he's begging and he's pleading with Abraham, send someone. I have five brothers. So they won't come here where I'm at. You know, I want to, see, there's going to be people that we love. They're going to be in hell. Now, they're in hell already. I want to read. Go to Revelations. Revelations 20. I read this in Revelations 20, verse 11. And this is the great white, the judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. So, and there was found no place for them. Okay, so right there, there's everybody's there at the great judgment. Everyone that's in heaven has come down, and heaven and earth has fled away, and there's no place for them. They're here standing before a great white throne. And I saw death, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. See, when it says, and the books were opened, I believe that's the Holy Bible. He's going to judge. It says, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. You can look at that and say, well, wait a minute. Why are we being judged according to our works? Well, in Romans, in the book of Romans, Paul says, and God will judge the secrets of man according to my gospel. See, what's the secrets of man? Did you truly believe that you were saved by God's grace, for Him dying on the cross and shedding His blood? Or was, when you died, you had a thought, what if I didn't pray enough? What if I didn't do enough? What's your secret? The secret of man is, did you truly accept Him as your Savior and put away all your hopes or thoughts of justifying your own self by your own righteousness? Because in the book of Romans, I didn't write down the scripture, he says that anybody that worketh, it's in Romans 4, go to it real quick. Romans 4, verse 4. Acts Romans. That's why they're judged. That's what I, when I saw it, I said, he's judging for the works. But look what it says. Now to him that worketh is rewarded, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. What's debt? Work. When you owe something, you got to work it off. Romans 4, 4. He says, now to him the work is rewarded, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believe on him that justified the ungodly. Who's the ungodly? We are. We're all ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. So, if you go back to Revelations, he says, Revelations chapter 20, verse 12, he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Small and great, that means from the servants all the way to the kings, the queens, the big people in life. Stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. So he's going to judge the secrets of man. The Bible says when you trust Him, that He removes all sin from you. And a person, He says, that doesn't, He says, you know what? You want to be judged by your works? I'll judge you by your works. And He's going to put you on the balance of life, and He's going to weigh you out. And He's going to say, did you ever tell a lie? Oh, you did, right? Okay. Did you ever look at a woman? Yeah. Okay. And He's going to cast them into hell. It says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them. See, right there, the heaven, everyone that was in heaven has came down. We're at the judgment seat. The heavens and the earth fled away. There's no place for them. And now God has delivered up hell. He's brought hell up. And He's judging everyone. Everyone's there witnessing it. And He's judging them. And it says, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. See, everyone that's in hell is waiting for judgment. And they're going to come out of hell to be judged. And that's when, I think that's in the book of Matthew 7:21, when he says, Lord, we did this. I believe that's, they're talking about, they finally get a chance. They've been waiting to justify themselves. And they're saying, Lord, I preached in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I did many wonderful works. And he says, you know what? You didn't trust me. You never made me your Savior. You made me the Lord of your life. And that's when I noticed that, you know, you can make Him the Lord of your life and still go to hell because you never made Him the Savior. You made Jesus plus you. And He says He's going to judge every man according to their works. So now we have death in hell, and it's cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now look, go down to 21:4. I want to show you something. It says, and God shall wipe away, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, For the former things have passed away. Why are they crying? They're crying because they just witnessed the great white judgment. And you're there and you're going to see all your loved ones, the people you worked with, the people you knew. They're going to be going to hell. And you're going to witness them being cast into hell. And you're going to have a regret. I wish I would have made time and witnessed to them. I wish I would have told them. They're going to look at you and say, why didn't you warn me? Just like Lazarus. I mean, the rich man. We're going to be there and we're going to witness it. We won't be judged. We'll be rewarded according to our works, those that are saved. But the ones that are not, we're going to witness this. Right there, heaven and earth passed away. Everyone that was in heaven is there at the judgment. Death and hell is brought up now. And he's judging everyone according to their works. And we that are saved are witnessing it. You're going to see your friends, your loved ones, your co-workers, the people you, my aunt, I wish I would have talked to her, my grandma, she wouldn't listen. She was a Catholic. Well, you never went to her and talked to her. And you're going to see her being escorted into hell. And you're going to be crying. Imagine their face looking at you. Why didn't you tell me? Why? I don't care. You should have pleaded with me. Got me on my attention. Why didn't you do it? And we're going to have regrets. So there's going to be regrets in heaven and in hell. See, and so God says, I will wipe away all your tears. But look what it says. Go to 21 now. Right after he cast their butt into the lake of fire, it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. From the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. See, it's gone. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, come down from God out of the heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And yeah, and look, they're crying. Why? They shouldn't be crying. They should be happy. But they're crying because they just witnessed the great white judgment. This is why it's very important that we tell people about hell. This is why it's very important. We say, you know what? It's not a fun place. There's going to be, I didn't even mention where it says there's going to be gnashing of teeth. There's going to be, you're going to be locked up. You're going to be bound with chains. You're going to have unquenchable fire. There's going to be worms. There's no rest day or night. Even Satan himself is going to be bound in there and being tormented. Then it's not a fun place. Some people we have to save with fear. And you know, and that's what I wanted to show you about, you know. I want to read a little more. We'll go back to 21:5. And he sat upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. He's wiping away their tears. He says, there's not going to be, after they've witnessed it, they're crying. He says, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he sat upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write. He's talking to John. For these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. So, that's why when we think of hell, a lot of people don't want to talk about hell. Some people need to be pulled out of the fire with fear. Some people need to be told of the torments of hell. See, Jesus Christ, he suffered the torments of the cross to keep us out of the torments of hell. Because it's not a good place. See, everybody that's going to hell is all people that have not been forgiven. You're going to have kings and queens and preachers and nuns and evangelists and athletes and movie stars. You don't go to hell because of the sin you did. You go to hell because you weren't forgiven of your sins. That's why it's important that we tell people the gospel. We don't give them our thoughts or by our wisdom. I think Paul said, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. So many people call this gospel sugar-coated gospel. And I say, yeah, it is sugar-coated. That sucker was gift-wrapped. He says, I give it to you as a free gift. All you got to do is believe and trust in me. And people say, no. That's why he says, for the world knew not God by their own wisdom. They think it's by another way. I look on Facebook, I look all over. So many people listening to preachings. It's crazy. And all they talk about is right here, right now. God wants you to live like this. God wants you to have this. Hey, why don't you just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so people can be saved? Right? And that the reason I did this is so we can know what hell is about. I had a lot more verses, but there's a cry right now in hell for people to go out and warn. And you say, well, you know what? I'm tired of going because I go and I never get nowhere. And I never brought them to Christ. Yeah, but you warned them. You may not always be successful, but you warned them. You let them know, hey, there's no failure in warning. Everybody's got to be warned. And then on their day, when you're witnessing them, I warned you, I told you, you wouldn't listen. You'll be able to look them in the eyes because we're going to have a lot of regrets. I know I have regrets and some people I never told. And I'm going to see them on that day of judgment. And they're going to look at me and say, why didn't you tell me? You knew. Why didn't you tell me? So it's very important that we go out. And if we got to talk about hell, we need to tell them. Because some need to be saved with compassion and love, but others need to be saved with fear. And, you know, I hope this was helpful. And, you know, so it's very important. You know, many will say here, well, I don't know what to say. Well, come over here and we'll train you what to say. I don't know how to talk to them. Well, we'll show you how to talk to them. Well, I don't know. You're running out of excuses already. Come on over here and let's show you. So you can save those that have been deceived and lied to. You know, it's very important. Y'all go out and do that outreach. I go and I talk to people too, and I've been pleading with a couple friends. Man, this is so important. And they don't want to listen. But we have to warn them and let them know. Because in hell, there's going to be, once they're there,